So today we're going to learn about tzedakah. The parsha today talks about many things. It's typical of Chumash Devarim. We go from subject to subject. I'm going to direct your attention to the 15th chapter of Deuteronomy, Devarim Tezvav, and we're going to pick it up at verse 7. Pasuk Zion. The Torah says, Ki yi avacha evye, when there will be amongst you an impoverished individual. Me'achad achecha, from one of your brothers. Be'achad she'orecha, in one of your gates. Be'artzecha, in your land. Asher Hashem elekecha ne'isein loch, in the land that Hashem your God gives you. So the Torah says, when such a thing will happen, that there will be a poor person in one of your cities. You shall not clench or close your heart. Do not clench your fist. From your brother, the poor person. The Targum Yonason says something a little frightening. He says, Im leitiyu asukim b'Torah, if you will not involve yourself in the study of Torah, he says, then yibachem evyon, then there will be amongst you impoverished people. In other words, according to the Targum Yonason, poverty comes from a lack of Torah study, a lack of dedication to Torah study. Reb Sadia Goren says that this is not necessarily indicative of a person's sins. It could be one of two things, in two extremes. Poverty can come mitzad chetoy. Poverty can come because of our shortcomings. Or it could come because a person is extraordinarily righteous. And because a person is a big tzaddik, l'naseh se boho elikim, the Eibishter comes to test him. She'ikab b'schar ba'ilum haba, that he should receive more reward in the world to come. In other words, that he's going to be tested. He's going to have a hard time. And nonetheless, he's still going to demonstrate his loyalty and his courage and his spiritual mettle. So then Hashem says, oh, this is an amazing accomplishment, an amazing achievement. You remained loyal and faithful despite it all. And so your avodah, your service, your efforts are even more meaningful. This idea, which Ibsadi Goren talks about, is actually, I would presume, comes from the Gemara, where the Gemara talks about what happens when a person has yisurim, when bad things happen. So as the Gemara says, a person should be yifashvish with maisav, a person should look at his actions very carefully. He should review everything he does. And what happens if he doesn't find anything, yitla above him, bittel teira, the Gemara says, then you assume it's bittel teira. And if still that still is coming up short, you're not finding anything, what do you do then? So then the Gemara says, then it could be yisurim shel ahava. Then it could be the yisurim, then it could be that Hashem is trying you, but it comes out of love, not out of chas v'shalom, corrective behavior or corrective reality, but a person, Hashem is taking a person even higher, which the Sadi Goren interprets as the idea of a nisoyim, which comes from the terminology arim nisi, to raise a banner, to raise a person up, and to show how incredible and wonderful a person might be.
It could be all of the above.
It could be all of the above. Could be one of the above. Okay. I just thought I'd share that with you. The Turei Zohar says that the Torah says, Ki yiyah v'cha in you. So he says, v'cha in you is not the poor person's sin, but rather it's the sin of the nation, the congregation, the community. In other words, the person who suffers is not necessarily the person whose behavior falls short. Sometimes the person who suffers, suffers because of everybody else's problems.
He could be a tzaddik.
He could be a tzaddik, but it comes because of chet nonetheless. So this kind of, maybe this means all of the above. It could come because of avedus, but not the avedus of the person. It's beglal chata echa. It's because of your sins, the plural, the royal we. B'cha, in you, and it becomes because of chata echa, goramta lali yisani. At any rate, we certainly don't know why things happen, and it would be foolhardy for us to try to guess. And it's actually prohibited for us to come to a person who suffers and say, ha ha, avedus, he did bad things. They know how to do it. That's harassment, which is prohibited by the Torah, as it says in Shulchan Aruch, the lesson we learn from the friends of Eve. But this is the objective reality. And the question that's most important is, how are we required to respond? The Torah's answer is, do not close your heart. And the Torah's answer is, that lesikpes es yadcha. So what does this mean? Let's take a look in Rashi now. Rashi says, ki yiyah b'cha evyein, does not attempt to give us any background or reasons. Rashi's first order of business is simply to explain the word. Everybody knows that a poor person in Hebrew, the typical word is ani. So what is the meaning of an evyein? So Rashi says, it doesn't say ani. Instead, we use a different terminology because an evyein is worse off than an ani. And he explains that the word evyein is a conjunction of the terminology ha-ta'ev, ta'ev kaidim, the one who is hungrier, the one who is more desperate. So the evyein is one who is truly desperate, and it comes from the word of desperation. That's evyein. This is a desperado person, is mamash, desperate for help. And he's me'achad achecha. Why does it say me'achicha, from your brothers? What's me'achad achecha, from one of your brothers? So Rashi says, me'achad achecha means one like hamiyuchad, the special one, like somebody who's singled out. What would that mean? It means your comes to tzedakah, you do not give indiscriminately, but rather you have to look at the needs. You have to analyze and really have to give priority. And the prioritization is communicated to us with achicha me'avicha, kaidim la'achicha me'emecha. Now we have a mitzvah that we have to take care of our relatives. We don't like to take care of relatives. People like to give money across the ocean, something that sounds racy and exciting, and you feel like a hero. Your brother is a schlepper. Okay, my brother is a schlepper. Enough of his being a schlepper already. Get the guy down the block. So we have, when it comes to family, there's a difference between paternal family and maternal family. And so, me'achad achecha means that we make a distinction. You should take a look, even when it comes to family, what's the familial relationship? The underlying point here is that tzedakah requires a certain element of prioritization. A person says, I don't want to prioritize. I just want to give. Whoever asks, I give. No, it's not so. There's a business that we're going to see later that it says, why does it say, me'achad sha'arecha, from one of your gates, aniye ircha, the needs of your own poor are kaid milani yer acheres. If there's a need in your own city, that need in your own city has to be taken care of before the need in somebody else's city. A guy once came to me and said, Rabbi, I don't want to support our shul. I said, why not? He said, you know, I'm looking for like exciting causes, something which I really make a difference. So listen, I'm obviously partial over here, but aniye ircha kaidim, like your own shul comes first. That's actually api halacha. Your own needs, the needs of your own community, that's the first thing you have to look after. It doesn't mean that you shouldn't give elsewhere. It just means that there is a hierarchy of tzedakah in place. So if the person is poor in your own community, then that's not unreasonable to say, I need to take care of my own community. I need to take care of my own neighborhood, my own family first. That's a perfectly appropriate thing to do. In fact, that's what the Torah instructs you to do. Okay, so Rashi told us now that before the requirement of the response, the lisa'ametzes levavcha, the lisikpetzes yadcha, that the first thing we have to do is prioritize. And after you've prioritized, lisa'ametz. What does this mean? So Rashi says, there's two different things here. There's the closing or clenching of the heart and clenching of the fist. Yesh lecha adam shemitztair, there's a person who has difficulty. It's like painful for him to give tzedakah. And so he has this inner turmoil. And the inner turmoil is, im yitain, im lo yitain, should I give? Maybe I shouldn't give. I don't know, you know, should I? And then, yesh lecha adam, you have a person that even after he's gotten over the should I give and should I not give, that this guy is pashut the other. He actually, metaphorically and maybe even literally, he stretches his hand. But then, like, he can't open it, you know? So he's like, he stretches the hand, he's about to, and I can't open his hand, he can't open his fist. He stays tight fisted. So the Torah said, comes along, it says, lay sick baits. Don't clench your fist. First of all, open your heart. The person who seems to have a hard time opening his heart, open your heart. And then, even after you opened your heart and you stretch forth your hand and you can't open your hand, so then go ahead and finish the job, so to speak. Make it happen from an open heart to an open hand, from theory into practice, the poor person should get what they need. Now, this is certainly a long, unusual, even circuitous method of expressing something which is rather simple. Obviously, the Torah wants to tell us something. So, with regard to Rashi's explanation, the Netziv, he adds an interesting nuance. He says that when it comes to the giving of tzedakah, that you have to sometimes have mind over the emotions. So the emotions, we have selfish feelings sometimes, or frustrated feelings, or I can't believe this guy's asking me again. I can't believe it. Leave me alone. And then the mind says, that's not your business. It's not for you to judge. It's not for you to be angry. You have to do what's right. In other words, objective perspective over subjective perspective. So that's where the seichel sometimes overpowers. And then the Netziv says, Rashi means to say, even after sometimes the seichel, after your mind tells you what's right, and you know objectively what's right, and you're about to do it, all of a sudden you have tight fingers. And tight finger syndrome, the person can't open his hand. He says, I can't do it. So Terry says again, rule over that and make sure you go ahead and do it. Yes?
I was under the impression that if anybody asks you for tzedakah, you have to give. It's not a matter of how much. You can give them a little bit, but you have to give when people ask.
All right, so it's a good point. Kol ha-poshet yad, anybody who opens a hand or stretches forth a hand and asks, it says about Purim. Doesn't necessarily say, oh yeah, kol ha-poshet yad nesli, number one. Number two, it could be you give something. A person asks, you give him a buck, tuni, a loony, a tuni, whatever, $5. But that's not called serious giving. Serious giving means you make a real difference in somebody's life. You make a real difference in a cause. So yeah, sometimes we're doubting here and people come in. And sometimes we get frustrated. And our hearts are like, leave me alone. This is crazy. This guy was here yesterday already. And the Torah says, mind over heart. Your frustrations are irrelevant. Do what's right. But doesn't mean you have to write him a check for $100. So, okay, so you give something. The Panim Yafis says the reason that this is repeated a second time is because when you give with a smile. He says, you're nice already. Give by Ein Yafa. And that's why he says, don't clench your fist, which is not so easy to fit into pshat, because it talks about a hand, doesn't talk about your face or your muscles or your cheeks. But anyway, this is what the Panim Yafis wants to say.
What about the pshat that mitzvah is due to Hashem? Repeats the instruction. I mean, tzedakah we know is the cardinal mitzvah.
Let's just say that today's class is going to zero in on a repeated repetition. And then the question will become, why do we have to repeat the same thing twice?
So I'm suggesting it's dear to Hashem.
Yeah, okay. So, Torah still does a lot of things. Shabbos is dear to Hashem. Yeah. Doesn't say Zocher, doesn't say Shomer. Repetition in Torah is one thing. But when it says the same thing twice, Leisa'ametz and Leisikpetz, and it says Levavcha, and it says Yadcha, there's more than just deer. There's clearly different terminology. There's different adjectives, or I should say there's different verbs. Leisa'ametz and Leisikpetz, and then there's different subjects. There's Levavcha and there's Yadcha. So this is some of the ways to understand it. Don't hold your heart back from Achicha Evyein. Rashi says, Im Lei Titin Lei, we emphasize again, he's my brother. Well, we started off telling him he's my brother. He's one of my brothers. It's one of the cities. Why does he have to say Lisikpates, Lisa'amis, Lisikpates, and then emphasize Me'achicha Evian a second time? Why do you have to repeat that? So Rashi says, this is a bit of a warning. If you will be selfish and you will choose not to give him, then you will be his brother in poverty. You will share his fate, Chas V'Shalom. So here we give another reason why somebody can end up in a situation of poverty, because they didn't care about other people's poverty. And lack of sensitivity, and more importantly, lack of responsiveness, is simply not an option.
Is it true it also doesn't cost you anything? Because on Rosh Hashanah, your money's determined, but tzedakah is outside of the...
There is an element within tzedakah that Hashem says, b'chanunino, test me on this one, you will never lose money from giving tzedakah. And many of the great Rishonim wrote that nobody was ever became poor from giving too much tzedakah. Now, that doesn't mean that we have the perfect calculation. It could be that there was a terrible decree against somebody, and they gave tzedakah, and in this way the decree was averted, and had tzedakah be tatzal mimavas. And tzedakah is mizarezes hagaula. It hastens redemption on a personal level, on a global level. So we can't really know always the effect of tzedakah. And sometimes the money wasn't going to be yours anyway. You're either going to lose it on the stock market, or you're going to lose it on the parking tickets, or you're losing it in tzedakah. You gave tzedakah, it's yours forever. You lost it in these ways. That's it. It's gone. What's a better way to lose it?
Your reward for mitzvahs to be able to do more mitzvahs, you'll have more
money. That's a general notion. The Rambam says, and on Bichu Kaysai, that Hashem promises that if somebody does mitzvahs, he'll enable him to do more mitzvahs.
That means more money for tzedakah.
Yeah. So generally speaking, all these things are all true. They're all emes of Torah. It's not always an absolute reality, but that's because there are other variables.
Right.
And we generally do not get, maybe not generally, as a rule, we don't get all the variables. So we have rules, we have principles, and they're correct principles, but some of those variables are different, and we have a very limited view. Like the famous story with Eliyahu HaNavi, that he came to this place, and the family was very kind to him, and then he davened, the cow should die. Right? Later on, the Tana who went with him saw a number of strange things like this, and he said, why did you daven the cow should die? This is a nice, good couple. They were so kind to you. Eliyahu HaNavi said, she was going to die. The wife was going to die. And instead, I averted the decree from the wife to the cow. Don't you think it's better the cow should die? So sometimes they say, as we call the Sfardim, say, kapara. Kapara. Is it kapara? Yeah, sometimes. So you don't really know sometimes. The Torah says now again, rather, what will you do? After seeming redundancy, which is not entirely redundant, because sa'ameitz is not sikbeitz, levavka is not yadcha, ki because pasayach tiftach es yadcha, you will surely open your hand. This is redundancy. The word pasayach and tiftach, first of all, you already said that before. You already said le'sikbeitz yadcha. Now verse 8 emphasizes, open you will open, would be the literal translation. V'haveit tavitenu le, you will provide from demach seire, asher yechsele, whatever he's missing. Now, Havet really is talking about a loan. That's the truth. And the Tolis Yitzchak says, this is to teach us that some people would prefer to die rather than take tzedakah. It's not easy to take tzedakah. So the Tolis Yitzchak says, in that case, a person who refuses to take, give him a loan.
Is that a higher form of tzedakah?
It is a higher form of tzedakah, not because you gave more, but because you preserved somebody's dignity more. And tzedakah, in Jewish thought and Jewish philosophy and practice, is never about the giver and always about the recipient. It's always about the recipient. The idea give till it hurts is not a Jewish idea. Because then the tzedakah is about you, but the tzedakah is always about them. It's about the Evyon.
So
why does it say Peseach Tiftach?
Coin falls out of your pocket.
Even the coin falls out of your pocket, correct. Mm-hmm. But here we're talking about action required. Mm-hmm. Why is it Peseach Tiftach? Listen carefully what Rashi says. Peseach tiftach afilu kama pa'amim. A bunch of times. How many times? Person's back again. Peseach tiftach. Keep opening. Afilu kama pa'amim. Rashi says that the word key here is mishamesh. It serves bilshein ela. Rather, you should. It says levavcha. Don't clench your heart. Leisik beses yadcha. Don't close your hand. But rather, key, instead, rather, Paseach Tiftach, you give and give and give, continue to open your heart. As Rashi says, Havei Tavitenu, Leirotso, if he doesn't want Matana, Ten Levavo, then give him alone. Dei Machsere, Viyata Metsuvei, Lahashire. You don't have to make him wealthy, but basic needs have to be provided. Asher Yechsele, what's missing? Afilu Sus Lirkov, you got to provide him with wheels to get around. Evid's Loris Lafanov, you got to give him those to people to help him. So obviously it would depend who it is. Somebody's very wealthy, Nebuch lost all his money, has been kicked out of his home, and you go ahead and you bail him out, and you provide his home. It's a palatial home. He can move into a little apartment, you know, live like a poor man. So a person who lived like that is not used to living like that. And it would be a tremendous, drastic reduction in lifestyle. So it's a mitzvah for you to provide people the lifestyle that they're used to, that they're comfortable with. And it's still called tzedakah. Rashi goes on to say, lo yizu isha, to help him if he's missing, if he doesn't have marriage, to help him give him enough that he should be able to get married. V'cheinu eimer, esale ezer kenegdoi, the idea of lo yilamed vav, oftentimes will serve in Torah parlance, in Torah literature, as the ezer kenegdoi, as the helpmate or the spouse. So now we're going to skip from verse 8, where we talk about Paseach Tiftach. Let's skip forward now to verse 10. Skip verse 9, which talks about reasons why you wouldn't want to give tzedakah. And the Torah says, after telling you that you should not want to give tzedakah, the Torah says, Nasoin titain, which translates as, give, you shall give. Loi to him. V'layeid alevavcha besitchalei. You shall not harbor negative feelings in your heart as you give to him, ki beglal hadavar hazeh, for it is by dint of this activity, Yivarechecha Hashem Alikecha, the Lord God will bless you, even if he doesn't say thank you. B'chol ma'asei yadecha, in all of your handiwork, in everything that you will try to perform, whatever you'll try to do. U'v'chol mishlach yadecha, wherever you send forth your hand, it's a euphemism, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises that he will give you additional success. So what is the meaning of nasin titein? We just read in verse 8, kipasayach tiftach, open you shall open. And what did Rashi say? What's open you shall open?
You heard your hand.
Means, afilu kam upon. Rashi said even many times. Now comes along nasin titein. Says Rashi, what does it mean nasin titein? The redundancy here. Afilu mea piyamim. Even 100 times. So before, by pasayach tiftach, it says afilu kama pa'amim. Kama means a number, a few, maybe many, but it means a bunch of times, several times. And here Rashi gives a number. He says, afilu mea pa'amim, 100 times. So what's the question? Why do we say over there kama, several, many times, repeated times? And here we give a number, afilu mea pa'amim. Now, Rashi, when he talks about this idea of titin loy, Rashi says the emphasis is loy, is that you don't have to give it in front of everybody. A poor person needs something, so you meet him in front of everybody, and Shlomo said, remember you asked me for some money because you couldn't pay your rent? The guy is turning colors like a tomato. And you say, I was in the bank yesterday. I have your money for you. And the person wants to like bury himself of shame. Says, titin loy. Give it to him discreetly and quietly. You don't have to go telling everybody, oh, this guy, you know what I did for him? I gave him so much money. And there's a schlepper came back and he asked me again, what he is. I kept giving him money. Shh, still hate. This is between him and you and nobody else. Only the Eibishter has to know. Only God has to know.
It's a big
affair to embarrass somebody. And even a person, right? But even a person could say, I have to go out of my way to hide things. What am I ashamed of? It's not a question, yeah, because you're going to embarrass somebody. And we know the Gemara tells us incredible stories of people, the great tzaddikim will give tzedakah in a very discreet way. Mm-hmm. Even the person who's getting it should know who they're getting it from, so they shouldn't be, chas v'shalom, robbed of their dignity. The Rave says, im titen lei, if you will give him, we know it says double nasain, nasain titen. Rave says, titen lei, nasain, titen, Hashem will give you. That's the double, that's the redundancy. And this, the Rave's words are probably taken from the Sifri. The Sifri says, "In nasata pamachas, if you gave once, soifach litin kama pamim, then you'll give many times." And you're like, "Oy vey, that's a bracha. I gave once, now I have to give many times." What's the answer? Exactly, a huge bracha. You gave, Hashem enables you to give many times. That's a gevaldika thing. That's great. I gave, Hashem enables you to give more. The Nachah Kidumim says, "Nasan titin means ani merub ma person. I have one cause. I take care of this neighbor of mine. Don't bother me. That's who I give to." No, a person should diversify. Just like you diversify in your investments, you diversify in your tzedakah, and you give on many, many people. Le'yeda le'vavcha, says the Targum Yerushalmi, give tzedakah with happiness in your heart. Give with joy. Don't give with misery. Don't give with self-flagellation and frustration. Rabbeinu Bechaya says, le'yeda le'vavcha, why would a person feel bad? Why would a person feel bad? Looks at his bank accounts, he sees diminishing zeros. So I gave all the tzedakah away. I gave so much tzedakah, it's so hard for me to give tzedakah. So he says, don't worry about your missing money. At the end of the day, the money you gave either wasn't going to be yours anyway, or in fact, will be like seeds in the ground. The seed rots, it disappears, and instead, much more comes in lieu of the money you gave. So don't feel bad about it. On the contrary, you should be happy about it. So let's go now to the original question that I asked a few minutes ago. What's the difference between the two expressions? In verse 8, we say Paseach Tiftach, and there Rashi emphasizes the word Kama, and here we say Nasain Titein, and Rashi says Meya. Why do we have a difference here?
What are the last two? Titein and Meya?
The first time Rashi says Paseach Tiftach, open you shall open, afilu Kama Paman, even many times. The second time is Nasain Titein, it says Layeda Levavcha, what's Nasain Titein, says Rashi, afilu Meya Paman. Why the first Paseach Ches, he says, Kama, many, several, and Pasuk Yud, he says, even 100. Why does he attach a number?
I thought you pointed out another set of contradictions, too.
I'm sorry?
I thought you pointed out another set of contradictions as well as that.
Well, there was a number of things. I think we more or less covered the various reasons. But here we're going to investigate not the seeming redundancy itself, because we've given a number of answers for why the Torah speaks redundantly. The question for us here is, why does Rashi change his explanation? Rashi explains the first and second redundancy almost the same way, but the first time he does not give a number. He says kama, and the second time he makes the point of giving a number, mea, 100. Yesh Levi, the Shini Haloshin, the Rebbe says here in the Biurim book, we're on page Kuf Tzad Gimel, Simen Chavtes. We should understand the reason that Rashi uses different verbiage. We know that Rashi chose his words extremely carefully, and there must be a message. There must be a reason behind the change, the syntactual shift. What might that be, though? So the Rebbe gives the following suggestion. Habitoi poseach tiftach, the expression in the Torah, poseach tiftach means open, you shall open your hand. Is this talking about a functional reality? It's talking about the fingers? Or is it talking about the attitude? Poseach tiftach is an attitudinal concept. Poseach tiftach is not saying open your hand, close your hand. It's not about finger calisthenics. Mm-hmm. But rather, as we learned, Sha'olav lo says tzedakah, that the person should give tzedakah, mitech psichas yad v'lev, with an open hand and an open heart. As Rashi told us, that the pasuk ki is saying, rather, not like we discussed. What did it say in the pasuk before? The pasuk before was talking about clenching your fist, closing your heart. So when we say you shouldn't close your heart and clench your fist, rather, ki, instead, paseach tiftach, you should give. It means instead of having an attitude, a clenched attitude, a stingy attitude, you should have a giving attitude. Some people can't bring themselves to give. They have every excuse in the book, but they just can't bring themselves to give. So the Torah says, you're a yid, work on it. Make yourself more generous. Give, paseach tiftach. This is an attitudinal shift. This is how you have to look at life. You have to look at life as tzedakah, as an opportunity, not like, I can't believe they're asking me again. All I've lost is tzedakah, you give the tzedakah with an open way. Now this comes, as we said, and this is the counterweight of the previous pasuk. The ilu, contrastingly, habitoi nosoin titein, the expression of give, you shall give, is not talking about the attitude, but rather it's talking about the action. Nosoin, give. If I open my hand, nothing was given yet. My hand was clenched, now it's open. Is anything given?
Anything?
No, it's still in my hand. I didn't give it yet. I just opened my hand. Now that the hand is open, it's possible for me to give. But the act of opening is not an act of giving yet. I still have to give. So when the Torah says, Paseach Tiftach, the Torah is not telling you what to do. The Torah is telling you how to behave, how to feel, how to look at a situation. Conversely, the idea of nasain means give. Give, it's not attitude, it's give. That's what you should, it's action-oriented.
Even if it hurts.
Perhaps, but we're not talking about hurting or not hurting.
We're talking about
nasain titin. So that's talking, says the Rebbe, about the nesinas hatzedaka atzma. Now, once you make this distinction, mikan, Hahesber l'shini haloshen. Now, the seeming contradiction, or at least lack of cohesion between Rashi's syntaxes, all of a sudden become resolved. Now it becomes much clearer. Haskaras misper mugder, mentioning a number, a specific number, like Rashi does in verse 10, mea pa'amim, 100 times. Masima, a number is appropriate, kishimedubar b'nesinas hatzdaka atzma, when we speak of actual giving. So actual giving can be addressed with actual numbers because you're actually giving. So actually giving, you say even 100 times because each time is an act of giving. I gave and I gave and then I gave again. It's acts of giving. It's a pa'ula, it's an action, sheyesh la mashmos kamusis. There is not just a qualitative edge here, there's a quantitative reality. How many times did I give? I can't believe you asked me again. You asked me 67 times. Yeah, that's true. I'm asking you again.
So
What do you enjoy asking? No, I don't. I don't enjoy asking. I need. I need pleasures. There's that famous story that there was these thieves who broke into Bank Leumi, and they escaped with $10 million in pledges. So the idea of a number refers to the quantity of one's actual giving. Ah, however, when we speak not of a technical or actual giving, but we speak about the spiritual side of things, the non-tangible, the attitude, the approach, how should I look at life? Oh, here things change. Here we're talking about psichas hayad v'halev, having an unclenched fist, having an open hand. It's a euphemism, he gives it open hand. It's an expression. Having a giving heart, not having a heart that closes, it's insensitive, it's unfeeling. Having that kind of attitude, ein mashmos lahaskaras mispo. I mentioned a number. This is not about a number, because you're not talking about a finite act. A finite act adds up to numbers. That's a quantity. Here we're talking about the quality of a person. We're talking about the attitude. We're talking about the perspective. We're talking about a hirah klalis. Here's a general instruction. A Torah yid, a yid who wants to be an Ovid Hashem, you want to take Yiddishkeit seriously? You want to be Hashem's servant? You want to be a person who's called charitable? A person who's a baal tzedakah, a baal chesed? Pasech tiftach. A baal tzedakah is always giving. Afilu kamu pamim. He gave times. He gave already. He's a baal tzedakah. He gives. Kiloimer, in other words, called emas sha'adam neisen tzedakah. Whenever a person gives tzedakah, he should stop, think for a moment, and he should remember. What should he remember? All of lasei zeis, that when you do it, give it with right attitude. Give it generously. Do it biyad psucha, do it with an open hand, do it with rechava, do it with a sense of generosity and a spirit of caring and giving. Right. And that, my dear friends, explains the exacting nature of Rashi's interpretation. So there's a difference. The Torah does indeed repeat this. And from the fact that Rashi used different words, which tipped us off like the iceberg and gave us a whole new understanding of what the Chumash is talking about, we also now can appreciate why the Torah uses different words. Paseach is open. Openness is attitudinal. Whereas giving is technical. Giving. Go ahead, give. Give. And both are necessary. A yid has to live with the right attitude. You have to have a spirit of generosity that punctuates the way you live. And then that spirit has to be translated into actual giving. And then and only then do we merit the berchasai, the blessings of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that come specifically through the acts of tzedakah v'chesed.
Is this sort of like instructions from the